All right, we're starting at the top of Pei Bet Amud Aleph. We left off yesterday discussing the machlokes between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Akiva. The price that the Gemara brought about the machlokes between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Akiva is that Tanya, Malvet Chaver Mashkon, Bavad Mashkon, someone who lends on a Mashkon to his friend, and then the Mashkon is lost. Yishavavi Tomotav, Divi Rabbi Lezer, he can take a Shavu'ah that he was not Poshea in that Mashkon, and then he's entitled to take the or collect on his loan. As Rabbi Akiva believes, that the Mashkon was the premise and the almost the intended payment for this loan. And if you don't return me the Mashkon, if you can't provide me this Mashkon, then I'm not going to pay the Chov. The Chov is forgiven if the Mashkon is not present over here. So that was Machlokes between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Akiva. The question of how far do we say Rabbi Akiva's statement of, you know, the Mashkon is here, therefore, right, I have to, if you don't have a mashkon, you don't get your chov back. It's machlokes every shonim. How far we take that? Is it only in Geneva and Aveda, or even by ones? What's the story? If he loses it by ones, or something happens, it was stolen by armed robbers, he still loses out his loan. So that's subject to machlokes every shonim. But we tried to establish was that Rabbi Lezer cannot be the author of our Mishnah. And that's how we left off. The Gemara went through, which tried to establish that Rabbi Lezer could be the author of our Mishnah, even though it sounds like he's not. And then the Gemara concluded it must be Rabbi Lezer is not the author of our Mishnah. Now, the Gemara is going to explain, or try to explain, what the machlokas between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Akiva is premised on. We're starting down, it's about midway down, on the Pei Bet Amud Aleph, which is, Lema delo shove mashkon shir zuzei. Right, let us say that the machlokas between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Akiva is in an instance where the mashkon is not equal to the full amount of the loan, in that it's below the total amount of the loan. And they're arguing in the position or the statement of Shmuel. Someone who lends 1,000 zuz to his friend. He gives him as a mashko, and he gives him the handle or the stick of a hoe or some sort of rake that he gives him, something that is worth significantly less than the amount of the loan as a mashkon. Avad kata demaglo, avda al fezuze. So according to Shmuel, that this idea that the mashkon and the loan are intertwined or connected is so deep or so powerful that even when the mashkon is not worth the total value of the loan, if the mashkon is lost and not returned, then the person loses out the entire loan. So in that instance, we're going to say, now we have two, the Gemara now sets up the din of Shmuel is where it's lo shave shir zuzeh, where it's not equal to the value of the loan. But that's the implications from that. This is what Rashi suggests over here, is the ibishavi, if the mashkon was actually worth the same amount of the loan, modi Rabbi Lezer to the guvainu shakle, that you could take that as full, that would be taken as full payment, and therefore if the mashkon was lost, then even Rabbi Lezer would agree that at that point, right, the loan is also lost. So their argument is only when the mashkon is worth less than the loan. But when the mashkon is worth at least the amount of the loan, then even Rabbi Lezer would agree that that is sufficient, or that is clearly was taken as payment for the loan, as guvina for collection. It's a guaranteed collection, or as collection on the loan. And therefore, if you do not return the mashkon, you will not get your loan. The only question is when it's less than the value of the loan. When it's less than the value of the loan, then you have to question what was the purpose of taking such a mashkon, right? If you say that taking a mashkon worth less than the value is simply zichron dvarim ba'alma, which would be Rabbi Lezer's position, it makes sense, because otherwise why wouldn't you take something that was worth the full amount of the loan? Taking a mashkon that's worth less than the loan really doesn't necessarily help you. So it must be that you took that mashkon simply as zichron dvarim ba'alma. Rabbi Akiva says no. Rabbi Akiva says, who holds, is going to hold up Shmuel. He's going to say, Sover v'kabil, that we've seen this before, we've seen this in numerous places, that you accepted it. Right? We saw that with the Poalim, who took the lower rate from their Poal, the friend who came into him. Sover v'kabil, if you accept it, if you were Mekabil, that is the Mashkon, then that becomes the Mashkon. So even though it's worth less than the total value of the loan, but because you accepted it, and you were Mekabil that as the Mashkon, then it has a full Shem Mashkon, it has the name of the Mashkon, and therefore, if you lose it, you won't get paid back. So that's the Gemara's suggestion. According to Rashi, that's the Gemara's suggestion over here. Let us say that Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Akiva agree when the Mashkon and the loan are equal, that if you lose the Mashkon, you lose the loan. But our only machlokas is about when it's worth less than the loan. When it's worth less than the loan, we'll have this machlokas whether you hold of Shmuel, you don't hold of Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva will hold of Shmuel, and Rabbi Elazar will not hold of Shmuel. So that's the way Rashi reads the Gemara. Tosus, on the other hand, says he doesn't agree. There's a very long Tosus here on the left side, but I will just go to the bottom line of Tosus, and he says, if you look down in the medium wide lines, as it starts to widen out, it's 2, 3, 4 lines down in that. It says, Venir the Farish, when it says, Lema b'dlo shave, ubedishmo kamifke perish, af b'dlo shave. That when Tosus says that, when it says that they're going to argue in Shmuel about when the mashkon is not worth the full amount of the loan, Tosus says that means not only do they argue when it's not worth, but even when it is worth. I mean that they argue in both stages. Supposed to Rashi says that when the mashkon will be worth or equivalent to the loan, there even Rabbi Elazar will agree to Rabbi Akiva. Over here, Tosus says no, the machlokas is both when the mashkon is shaveh to the loan and when it's worth less than the loan. The machlokas permeates both sides of this. And it's irrelevant how much the mashkon is worth. Rabbi Elazar has his opinion, Rabbi Akiva has his opinion, but the Gemara is saying even by Shmuel will say that the machlokas is that way. All right, so now the Gemara continues and says, though, it says, "E below shavei mashkon shur zuzei dekul le'am alet lehu Shmuel." No, everybody agrees that if the mashkon is not worth the full amount of the loan, we don't hold of Shmuel. If we don't hold the Shmuel, that means that the loan is not forgiven automatically when you have such a situation. Now we're talking about a case where the mashkon is worth the full amount of the loan. And they argue in the principle of Rabbi Yitzchak. Now what is the principle of Rabbi Yitzchak? So now, the principle of Yitzchak is Damar Rabbi Yitzchak, Minayin Lebalchov, Shukone Mashkon. How do you know that a creditor, when he takes a mashkon, actually takes possession of that mashkon? Shenemar, because it says, Ulecha tiyetz takah, that when you return the mashkon to its owner, meaning that when the Torah talk speaks about the need for a person who takes a mashkon that the debtor needs at night, or the debtor needs during the day, that you're obligated to return that mashkon so that he can use it during the times that he needs it, and then he'll give it back to you as a collateral. It says there, Ulecha tiyetz takah, if you do this, if you take care of these people, then it will be tzedakah for you. It will be considered a positive, a generous offer on your part. So basically, the basic principle is that it can only be classified as staka. Staka is an indicative of the fact that you actually own the item, and now you're being generous and giving it back to the other individual. But that can only be true if you actually own the item. So if you're giving the mashkon back and it's calling it staka, that's indicative of the fact that you must own the item. So that's what Rabbi Yitzchak says, you own the mashkon. As a creditor, you own the mashkon. From here we know that a balchov is kone le mashkon. So now, Rashi explains, when we say kuli amalit lehu d'shmuel, when we say that everybody doesn't hold of Shmuel, that means, according to Rabbi Elazar, when the mashkon is worth less than the full amount of the loan, then you lose nothing. According to Rabbi Akiva, you only lose keneged mashkon. Right, so Rabbi Kibble say that when it's worth less than the full amount of the loan, true that you don't lose the whole loan, but you'll still lose the amount that is connected to the mashkon. Whatever the mashkon's worth, that much of the loan you will lose. Now, their argument comes now about what happens when it's equal. When the mashkon is actually equal to the loan, what is its status? Rabbi Elazar will be persistent in consistent in his opinion that the mashkon has no impact on the loan because he doesn't hold of Rabbi Yitzchak. He says that you are not koneh the mashkon. That when you have a mashkon, you're not koneh the mashkon. If you're not koneh the mashkon, then it's not taken the guvina. It's not taken as a collection. Therefore, if the mashkon's lost, you still don't have to to replace it. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva says, no, that when you are taking mashkon, when it's at the full value of the loan, you're koneh the mashkon. And you're koneh the mashkon to the extent that if you lose the mashkon, you can't get the money back for the value of that mashkon. And that'll apply both when the mashkon's worth the full value of the loan, where you won't get anything, and actually if the mashkon exceeds the value of the loan, you'll actually owe money to the to the loveh. And if it's less than the value of the loan, then Rabbi Akiva says you'll lose up to the amount of the loan. Because Rabbi Akiva believes you have a kinyan on this mashkon. If you have a kinyan on mashkon, that means that you took it the guvaina. That means you took it to ensure collection or as collection. And therefore, if you lose it, you lose your loan. Up to the amount of the mashkon, you're going to lose your loan. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar says, no, that I don't hold the Rabbi Yitzchak, and therefore, if you're not Konet, that means that the Mashkon is simply Zichron Devarim Ba'alma. The Rashi here makes...
So the Kenyan, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, and Rabbi Yitzchak, the Kenyan of the Mashkon is in essence an advance repayment of the loan.
Right. It's either to guarantee the payment of the loan. It's Guvainos versus Zichron Devarim Ba'alma. Right.
I have to say that it's an advance repayment of the loan, because if it's lost, then that section of the repayment is no longer owed, because correct, in theory that they already paid it back.
Correct. Correct. Now that's the way I formulated yesterday, was that it's a real payment. I saw some of the Rishonim say that it's still the Guvaina. It's not a perfect payment, it's to ensure payment, and since it's taken to ensure payment, it's you have to return it in order to get your payment. So that's one way to formulate it. Or but I like better, although it's a very
some kind of Kenyan done on this Suda or whatever to signify that this is for Guvaina.
Right, exactly. That it's acting as a in lieu of payment. Let's call it that. It's acting in lieu of payment, and since it's acting in lieu of payment, unless you return it, you're not going to get your payment. If it's simply taken as a token reminder, then yes, you might, you know, the token reminder is lost, and as long as you're a shomer, whatever type of shomer you're on, it you'll have to deal with. But that won't cause you to lose the full amount of loan, according to Rabbi Elazar. All right. So now Rashi makes an interesting statement here. Rashi says that when you're koneh the mashkon over here, it's l'tchayev ba'onsin, that you become even chayev in onsin over here, and that's not so clear that you should be chayev, that you should be actually be chayev in onsin, because is that the extent that Rabbi Yitzchak says when you're koneh the mashkon, you're koneh it so much so that you are chayev in onsin? Tosfos and Amud Bet says that he doesn't think that's the case. He thinks that you really are a shomer sachar, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, not a l'tchayev ba'onsin. L'tchayev ba'onsin makes you a shoel on the mashkon, which Tosfos says he doesn't feel as the, he feels that's too extensive an obligation on the individual, rather that you are a shomer sachar. So he says now, b'tzarech l'farish, Tosfos says, it's an interesting statement by Tosfos, because Rashi says, well, if you make a kinyan on the item, then it becomes yours. Of course you're chayev ba'onsin, because until you return it, you're not going to get it back. On the other hand, right, Tosa says, wait a minute, to be mechayev and onsin, that's a very, very extensive type of achrayut, and how could you say that? But Tosa runs into a problem, is how do you create, or how are you a shomer sachar here according to Rabbi Yitzchak? He says, b'tzarech lefarish, meizu tam yesh shomer sachar. Right, Tosa says, okay, I don't think he's chayev and onsin, I think he's a shomer sachar. But why is he a shomer sachar? Dichashiv kinyan gamor, if you think that the kinyan is a full kinyan like Rabbi Yitzchak, afilu ba'onsin yitchayev, then you should be chayev in onsin, like Rashi says. Vi lo chashim kinyan gamor, if there is no kinyan here, lo yeh afilu shomer sachar, then he shouldn't be a shomer sachar at all. How do you create this obligation to be a shomer sachar? The way we have it is either, we have either everything or nothing because of this kinyan over here. So Tosfos says, I disagree with Rashi, but the onsin, I think he's a shomer sachar, but what's creating the shomer sachar? V'yesh lomar, listen to this Tosfos. V'hoi hana, sh'yachol l'kadesh bo et ha'isha. So the fact that you could use this mashkon to be mekadesh nisha, that hana, right, I think Josh asked about that, Josh would have asked about that yesterday, that we saw this distinction in the Gemara in Kiddushin, but that if you have a kinyan on the mashkon, right, so that will allow you to be mekadesh nisha with the mashkon, because you have a full kinyan on it, it's yours, and now you can mekadesh nisha with the mashkon. So the Tosa says, wait a minute, what type of advantage is this? Vim tomar. Why should you be a shomer sachar? Because you can be mekadesh nishafet. You lent money to this other individual, and then you took the mashkon. If you had your money, you could also be mekadesh nisha with that money. So now you exchanged your money, you got a mashkon, and now you're mekadesh the woman with this object. What type of advantage is that giving you? I mean that if you had your money, you'd also be able to mekadesh nisha. So he doesn't say, what type of advantage are you really being given? It's because that's why now. Since now when he has the mashkon, his money's not in his hand, chashiv shomer sachar, the fish yechol asupo kiddushin or kinyan, he can make a kiddushin and a kinyan, va'od techalipin. Yechol asod mashkon, mashalo yechol asod b'ma'ot. So the mashkon adds for you an added dimension of kinyan that you didn't have before, because you can use the mashkon for chalipin. I mean, ma'ot can only do a kesef, kinyan kesef. And a kinyan kesef, we know that there isn't in chalipin b'ma'ot, right? There is ma'ot no in chalipin. Since you can't use money for kinyan chalipin, now you now have a mashkon in your hand, which is better than the ma'ot, because in that you can use it for everything you use the money for, plus a kinyan chalipin. So that additional hana is what makes you into a shomer sachar over here.
No, I'm saying that he can hold the mashkon to collect his maos. We used that before as a
hanav. I mean, that is the hanav, that is a guvaina. Right, so Tosfos before said that when you hold something to collect on it, that's only true when not everybody else does it. I mean, that's not the common practice. If everybody does that, that's not considered dinat shomer sachar in that case, because your holding of the mashkon is common practice. And what he said only there, where the uman, where it was an uncommon practice for the uman to hold the, he usually does the work in the balabais's house. But when he took it to his house to ensure payment, then he became a shomer sachar because he did something unusual. It gave him a huge advantage. It has to give you some advantage that isn't otherwise, you know, available to everybody else, or wouldn't be available unless you had this mashkon. So there he says that that's considered to be a shomer sachar. That's the common practice, Tosfos says. All right, so that's the way. So there, machlokas Rashi and Tosfos over here say that when you have the chidchayvut on this mashkon, how chayev are you? Are you chayev until the point of bonsin? Are you chayev to the point only of a shomer sachar, which we mentioned at the beginning of this year about Rabbi Akiva? When Rabbi Akiva says that if you lose the mashkon, you don't get your loan back, up to what point do you not get your loan back? Right, so at this point we're saying that they argue in Rabbi Yitzchak, which means that, again, just to remind ourselves that Rabbi Rebbe Ezer thinks that you never have a kinyan on the mashkon, you're always zichron devarim ba'alma, whether it's worth less, or it's clear that you don't have a kinyan on the mashkon, or even it's worth the same amount of the loan, he doesn't hold of Rabbi Yitzchak, and therefore you don't have a kinyan on the mashkon. As Rabbi Akiva believes, you always have a kinyan on the mashkon, even if it's worth less, or it's worth the full amount. He does not hold of Shmuel that if it's worth less, that it wipes out the entire loan, but he holds up to the amount of the mashkon, you have a kinyan, you'll be, that amount you will lose in the loan, and if you have more, right, then you will, if you have it up to the full amount of the loan, you'll lose the whole loan. And again, we mentioned that if it's in excess of the loan, there's a machlokas amongst the poskim about what that means. When it's more than the loan, what is your classification for the amount above the loan? About the amount above the loan, is that classified? Are you classified as a shomer chinam for that? Are you a shomer sachar on the entire mashkon? What's your status with regards to that excess amount? Would also be different, possibly, than the amount that is connected to the chob itself. Now the Gemara says, V'tisbra, does that make sense? Now, you are trying to make a claim that the issue between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva is about Rabbi Yitzchak, about whether you're koneh the mashkon. But we know that the pasuk that Rabbi Yitzchak is quoting to prove that you're koneh mashkon is comes from the parsha, which is that you will stand outside. Right, that it's a case where you invoke or you ask Beis Din to come in, intervene, and get a mashkon for you. And the shliach Beis Din goes into the house and brings you out a mashkon. So that's an instance where you're not taking a mashkon at the time of the loan, but shalom b'shat halvato, not at the time of the loan. So Rabbi Yitzchak's statement is made shalom b'shat halva'a. It's made not at the time that you have the loan outstanding. Aval mashkon b'shat halvato mi'amar. Who says that if you take a mashkon at the time that the loan is made, that mashkon, you have a kinyan on it? Rabbi Yitzchak is only addressing the time or the issue when you take a mashkon shalom b'shat halvato, not at the time of the loan. We spoke about that yesterday. The fact that you take a mashkon not at the time of a loan, right, is indicative that you really want it for a guvana. You're not taking it for zichron devarim ba'alma at that time, because then you would have taken it already at the beginning of the loan. If you're showing up in the middle of the loan and trying to take a mashkon, it's clear that you're taking it as a guvana, that you're taking it as collection at that point in time. So we said that yesterday. So how could you make a... Right, of course Rabbi Yitzchak makes sense. Even maybe Rabbi Elazar would agree to that. Who says Rabbi Elazar doesn't agree to that that position? Now remember, Tosfos yesterday mentioned to us that Rabbi Yitzchak's invoked by the Gemara in many places, Bishat Halvato, at the time of Halva'a. And here we see he's clearly talking about Shalom Bishat Halvato. So Tosfos makes this equation, which he says that from Rabbi Yitzchak we see that Shalom Bishat Halvato, when it's not the time of loan, you make a full kinyan on the mashkon. That tells us when you take a mashkon, Bishat Halvato, even though you don't have a full kinyan in it, but you have a super shibud on it, it's indicative of the creditor's relationship with the mashkon. And since when shalom b'shat avoto you have a kinyan, that means even when it's not, when it's b'shat avoto and you don't have a full kinyan, you still have a very, very strong relationship with it, and it will protect you during Shemitah and other issues that come up where you'll need a kinyan on the, or a very a strong connection to this mashkon. Say hello. Mashkeno shalom b'shat avoto kule ama itlut Rabbi Yitzchak. And this is what we saw in Tosfos yesterday also when he argued on Rashi about the meaning of shtar. That shalom b'shat halvato, everybody agrees that you make a kinyan on it and it's considered guvaina. Even Rabbi Elazar agrees that when you take a mashkon shalom b'shat halvato, that's considered to be collection or in lieu of collection. And therefore, if you don't return the mashkon, you're not going to get paid in that instance. So what we're talking about here, Here the argument is about when he took a mashkon at the time that he made the loan. So now, what's the question? The machlok is about is, b'shomer aveidah kamiflagei. They're arguing about shomer aveidah. Why is that? Didmar, shomer aveidah, Rabba amar kishomer chinam, and Rav Yosef amar kishomer sachar. Rabba says that a shomer aveidah is a shomer chinam. When you pick up an aveidah from the street and you hold on to it until the person comes to collect it, you are a shomer chinam. Rabbi Yosef says you are a shomer sachar. Why does Rabbi Yosef say you are a shomer sachar? Because this is what's called pruta de Rabbi Yosef. Pruta de Rabbi Yosef is that because when you have the aveidah in your house, you are considered an osik b'mitzvah. Since you're an osik b'mitzvah, you are poter min ha-mitzvah. So therefore, if an ani shows up at your door to come collect tzedakah, you will, if you're osik in that aveidah, then you'll be classified as osik b'mitzvah and you'll be patur from doing another mitzvah. So that handah that it gives you, that you're patur from other mitzvot, that's what makes you into a shomer sachar here. Tosfos, in many places where it talks about Pruta Rabbi Yosef, says you can't make a broad statement about aveidah, that if you have an aveidah in a house, you're patur min a mitzvah. Because then what? Every time a person has a mezuzah on his door, he's going to be patur min a mitzvah because he's mekayim a mitzvah? No. It has to be that you're really a suk in the mitzvah, that you're actually involved in the mitzvah. So it says that you'll only be patur min a mitzvah when you're a suk in the aveidah, when you're shaking it out, or you're doing something that the aveidah needs. The aveidah is simply sitting in your house, that doesn't classify you as an osik b'mitzvah to be patur you in min a mitzvah. Meaning that any mitzvah that you're doing, it's only when it precludes you from doing another mitzvah are you considered osik mitzvah poter min mitzvah. If you can be mekayim bo mitzvot, that's not considered osik mitzvah poter min mitzvah. Right there, you could argue, and that's what Tosfos said. There, you could argue that, like the Gemara in Kedushin says, that we only limud hamevili de maaseh, that limud is only to do maaseh. So that tour of Limud HaTorah does not necessarily apply to mitzvot, because we see the whole purpose of Limud HaTorah is to generate the maaseh. Right? So you could say that Torah is left out of that. But other mitzvot, like you're wearing tzitzis, that's what Tosfos said, you're wearing tzitzis all day. You have mezuzah on your door. Does that automatically make you patur min a mitzvah? No. Patur min a mitzvah means when you're osuk b'mitzvah, mitzvah, when you're involved in the mitzvah, then you're patur min a mitzvah. So it's only here when the aveidah, when you're actually involved in the mitzvah, would you be classified as patur min a mitzvah. So now the machlokas between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Akiva will revolve around this issue of whether you're a shomer sachar or not, whether you are considered. We classify this as pruta de Rabbi Yosef. Right? So lema, let us say that Rabbi Yosef's nahi. That Rabbi Yosef happens to be a machlokas tanaim. Whether there's a pruta de Rabbi Yosef is a machlokas tanaim. That Rabbi Lezer holds not like Rabbi Yosef. He says you're a shomer chinam. He doesn't hold of this pruta de Rabbi Yosef. And Rabbi Akiva will hold of Rabbi Yosef and say you're a shomer sachar because of pruta de Rabbi Yosef. Then the Rashi reads the Gemara as lema de Rabbi Yosef snahi. Now let us say that Rabbi Yosef's position is a machlokas tanaim, because Rabba's position is certainly a machlokas tanaim, because Rabbi Kiva can't hold of Rabba. Rabba says shomer chinam, and since Rabba says shomer chinam, there's no way that Rabbi Kiva can hold of the position of Rabba. So the way Rashi reads it, Rabba is certainly machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lezer. Now the Gemara says lema. Let us also say Rabbi Yosef is a machlokas between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva. That Rabbi Lezer.
Wait, so according to Rabba, how Rabbi Elazar would say he's a shomer chinam.
Right, that works well. So he'll hold like Rabbi Elazar, but Rabbi Kiva cannot, who says he's a shomer sachar, cannot fit into Rabbah over here. Since he can't fit into Rabbah, it's clearly a machlokas tanaim. Rabbah will say, I hold like Rabbi Elazar. That's the way Rashi reads it. That's the way many of the Gonim read it. The Rabbeinu Chananel and many others read it that way. And therefore, they paskin like Rabbi Yosef. They've said the lacha is like Rabbi Yosef because Rabbah is clearly a machlokas tanaim. And Rabbi Yosef is the only one who could set himself up like all the tanaim. That's the way most of the Gonim, and that's the way Rashi is clearly reading this Gemara. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says, no, that Rabba, when it says Lema, Rabbi Yosef, Plige, or Tanahi, that they believe that Rabba, there is no Machlokas Tanaim by Rabba. There is no Machlokas Tanaim by Rabba. And Tosfos Paskins, Alocha, is like Rabba, not like Rabbi Yosef. And he explains that Rabba, when he says Kishomer Chinam, he's going to explain the Machlokas between Rabbi Lez and Rabbi Kiva and Shmuel. He will say that, Rabba says, everybody holds like me, that a shomer aveidah is a shomer chinam, and the machlokas Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Akiva revolves around Shmuel's din of whether pachot mishavet, when the mashkon is less than a full mashkon, whether it's wipes out the loan or does not wipe out the loan. And that's how you'll explain the machlokas. I hold like all of them. Rabbi Yosef can't say that, because Rabbi Yosef can't say when he says that he's a shomer sachar, how is Rabbi Elazar going to deal with that, right? Rabbi Elazar clearly says he's not a shomer sachar over here. So where it says, lo, shomer veda tekulei alma idlu de Rabbi Yosef. No, everybody holds of Rabbi Yosef. Ah, now if everybody holds of Rabbi Yosef, that's what pushed the Rach and others to pass him like Rabbi Yosef. So the way Rashi interprets this is that the malveh, the creditor, actually needs the mashkon. So that there is actually a two-way street over here. He's lending the money to the debtor who needs the cash, and he's taking as a mashkon, the creditor, an item that he needs anyway. It's something that he's going to use or he needs anyway to use it. So he's taking this mashkon in order to use it, and he'll deduct from the loan the usage of the mashkon that he has. But he is getting some benefit here because he's getting an item he did he needed otherwise. So that's the way Rashi explains it. The question here is, are you doing a mitzvah? To lend money to another Jew, to a fellow Jew, is a mitzvah. Why? Because you can't collect interest on the loan. When you lend the money, right, then there's a mitzvah that you're helping out your friend by lending the money and not collecting any interest on it. So, therefore, you are performing a mitzvah. So, Rabbi Akiva says, if you're performing a mitzvah, then you are a shomer sachar, because you have the mitzvah in your hand, or the schar mitzvah in your hand, and that makes you into a shomer sachar. And it still classifies you into the din of Rabbi Yosef and Pruto de Rabbi Yosef, because you're osik the mitzvah when you lend and you take this mashkon. Whereas, mar sachar la mitzvah kavin, shalana tomit kavin, Rabbi shomer chinam. Right, Rabbi Elazar says, no, you are really a shomer chinam here. Why? Because in Hochanami, if you had just lent the money, you would have been doing a mitzvah. But now that you took the mashkon back that you need it, the reason you're lending the money is not because you want to do the mitzvah, because you're performing the mitzvah, because you want the mashkon. You have a personal interest in here. You have a personal benefit and personal interest over here. And that personal interest is driving you to lend the money. And therefore will not be classified as a mitzvah. Even though in general, a loan will be a mitzvah and you'll be patur from Prutu de Rabbi Yosef. In this instance, you won't be patur from Prutu de Rabbi Yosef because you have a personal interest in making the loan because you want to use the mashkon. And so now, that's the way Rashi explains it.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the way Rashi explains it. The Rach says that Tzarich Mashkon is that he doesn't want to lend without a Mashkon. Tosfos rejects the Rabbeinu Chananel's explaining that he doesn't want to lend without a Mashkon. Why does that detract from the mitzvah? Most people lend with a Mashkon. Why does that detract from the mitzvah? So he rejects that. Now, according to Rashi, how we explain the Gemara now, the Machlokas Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva will revolve like this. Elazar and Rabbi Akiva, number one, according to this, don't hold of Shmuel. Okay, they don't hold of Shmuel, which means that when the item is worth less than the full amount of the loan, right, then we don't say it wipes out the whole loan. Okay, that's number one. Number two is, they do hold of Rabbi Yitzchak. That means, shelo b'shat halvato. You take a mashkon, not at the time of the loan, everybody agrees that you're konen it, and it's the guvaina, that it's for a full collection. So now at this point, their machlokes is simply about shat halvato. Taking a mashkon at the time of the loan. Now taking a mashkon at the time of the loan, we now have a din of what's called shomer aveda. Just like when you take care of an aveda, you're doing a mitzvah. So too, when you lend out money, you're doing a mitzvah. When you keep the mashkon, you're like classified like a shomer aveda. You're like taking care of this mashkon because you're doing the other individual a favor by lending him the money. And so when you take the mashkon, you become like quote unquote a shomer aveda on this item. Now obviously you could draw distinctions over here, but the Gemara here draws an equivalence between the two. So now that you are a shomer aveda on this mashkon, we have the din of right. Oh, the mashkon facilitates the loan. Right, it is. You're not exactly like a shomer. Right, for sure you're not exactly a shomer, but you're like, you could say I'm like a shomer avida in the sense that you're helping, if you use the mashkon, you help him pay down the loan, so it's like a shomer avida, because it's like, remember in the Mishnah, we said, kemachzer lo aveda. It's like you return him. Right, that's the Rabbeinu Chananel.
For
the mashkon, right. Maybe the Rabbeinu Chananel says something along those lines. Right, so now at this point, where you are classified as doing a mitzvah when you lend the money, the question is, if you have personal interest in using the mashkon, then does that detract from your mitzvah or not detract from your mitzvah? So now let's look at all the different scenarios. If you took a mashkon, shelo b'shat halvato, everybody agrees that if you lost the mashkon, you can't get your loan back. Now that is only up to the value of the mashkon. I mean, that not if the mashkon is worth less than the loan, you only lose that amount. If you lose it up to it's the full value of the loan, you'll lose the full amount. If you lose more than the loan, you'll have to pay him back. That's shelo b'shat halvato, everybody agrees. B'shat halvato, right, that's where we have a machlokas. The machlokas is at b'shat halvato, even though Rabbi Yitzchak doesn't apply why there's no kinyan, but nevertheless, there's a question about being a doing a mitzvah. And doing a mitzvah will make you into a shomer sechar because of prutu de Rabbi Yosef. Because before we said maybe the machlokus is Rabbi Yosef, we say no, everybody holds a Rabbi Yosef, that prutu de Rabbi Yosef applies, and you are a shomer sechar. So everybody agree, if you lent money, took a mashkon, you would be a shomer sechar on this item because of prutu de Rabbi Yosef. The question comes up only where you took the mashkon because you wanted the mashkon. You had a use for the mashkon. You needed his rake or you needed his hoe to do work in your yard. So therefore you lent the money, you took that as the mashkon, and you use it, and then you use that monies that you should owe him. What it would have cost you to rent that item, you deduct from his loan when you use it. So then when you have personal interest in this item, or you have a interest in getting the item, does that detract or make it no longer a mitzvah? That's my focus here. Rabbi Elazar will say you still are a shomer sechar, because in the end, even when you use it, you're deducting from his loans. You're helping him out anyway. You did a mitzvah, you lent him money. That doesn't detract from the... Rabbi Akiva, I'm sorry. Rabbi Akiva says that you're still doing a mitzvah. Since you're still doing a mitzvah, you are a shomer sechar here, even though you're doing something for your own benefit, but that it's also to the benefit of the debtor. You're going to deduct from his loan. So in that case, you're a shomer sechar, and if you lose the mashkon, you're going to lose up to that value in the loan, even b'shat halvato. And Rabbi Eliezer says, no. Pelezer says, no, that by having personal interest in taking the mashkon, that makes it that you're no longer a shomer abeda or a shomer mitzvah. You're not no longer doing prutu de Rav Yosef. You're not doing prutu de Rav Yosef, then you're only a shomer chinam. And if you lose the item, right, then you are not going to lose out on your loan. So that'll be the conclusion of the Gemara. Now again, Tosis explains that since he paskins like Rabbah, that we're not going to say that machlokas is about this issue in Rav Yosef, but rather that machlokas is like Shmuel. They hold of Rabbah, everybody holds that he's a Shomer Chinam, and the machlokas between Rav Elazar and Rabbi Akiva will revolve around Shmuel's din. Whether when you have a mashkon that's worth less than the full amount of the loan, do you lose the whole loan, or only, right, either only keneged a mashkon or not at all? So that would be the machlokas of Rav Elazar and Rabbi Akiva. Alright, Abba Shalomer, Mutar La'adam, Laskir Mashkonot, Shalani Liyot Vochet Olech. Right, it says in the Mishnah that if you have a mashkon of the Ani, you can lend it, or you can rent it out, and then take that cash and pay down his loan. Alocha is like Rabbi Shaul. Va'af Rabbi Shaul lo amar ela b'mara upesel v'kardom. Right, ho v'nafish agrayu b'zuter pachtayu. So in all these items, it's only in a case where it's like a spade and a hoe, right, and a pesel, right, which is, it's unclear to me exactly what this is, but I don't know if it's a chisel of sorts, but the
sculptor's chisel,
thank you. That is, since you can rent them out for a good amount of money, and their depreciation is very low. So here it's where the advantage sits with the heavily with the debtor, which is that he's getting his loan paid down for very little cost in the item being rented out. But if it's an item there, the usage, the depreciation is equal to the rental value, and then therefore it's really not worth his while to rent it out because he's going to lose as much money in the depreciation of the mashkon as he's going to get back in the schira, then we don't allow you to do it. Only when it's heavily an advantage to the debtor do we allow you to do this. All right, now, a person who moves a barrel for another individual from place to place, vishavra, and it broke. Ben shomer chinam, ben shomer sachar, yishava. So whether he is a shomer chinam or shomer sachar on this item, he has to take a shvu'ah that he was not poshe in the item. Belazar omer, zivizei yishava. I heard the same thing that Rabbi Meir heard, that you do take a shvu'ah, v'tmi'ani. I don't understand him, yochlim zivizei yishava. How could it be that a shomer chinam and a shomer sachar have the same din? Doesn't make sense. It's mimonav shach, right? Either right, the shomer sechar should have to take a shvuah, not the shomer chinam, or right, if the shomer chinam has to take a shvuah, maybe the shomer sechar should have to pay. Why is it? How could you have both of them taking a shvuah over here? So Tan Rabbanan, we have a brisa. Mavir chavit mimakom mechaver mikom lemakom shavra ben shomer chinam ben shomer sechar yishava divrei Rabbi Meir, which is our Mishnah, Tanakam in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Meir shomer chinam yishava. So Rabbi Yehuda basically says what we would anticipate from the question of Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah, or Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah, that a shomer chinam will take a shvuah and be patur, and a shomer sechar will pay. That's the din of gnei v'aveda by a shomer sechar and a shomer chinam. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Zev Zei Shava. I heard like Rabbi Meir that the din is that way. V'tmi'ani im yochlim Zev Zei Shava. But I don't understand it. I heard that. That's the Masorah I have, Yodi, like Rabbi Meir, but I don't understand the din. So now the Gemara is going to give two questions to understand the position of Rabbi Meir. Well, Meimra the Savar Rabbi Meir Nitzka Lab Poshehu. From our Mishnah, it sounds like, and according to Rabbi Meir, the Brisa, the Rabbi Meir believes that if you trip, you're not a Posheya. Because, what do we see from this? Or basically, that you're classified as an Ones. Because what the Mishnah is allowing one to do is that a Shomer Sachar, in this case, can take a Shavua. When is a Shomer Sachar Patur? Shomer Sachar is Patur only in cases of Ones. He's Chayiv for Gnei Ben Aveda, he's Chayiv for Pshia. It's only instance when he's Patur is by Ones. And here, a person's carrying a barrel for another individual, and then he trips, and it breaks. So when he trips and it breaks, the only way that a Shomer Sachar could be Patur by through a Shavua is if it was an Ones. So basically, what you're seeing from Meir's position over here in our Mishnah or in our Braisa is that Nitka La Posheil and Nitka Chpamunu trips is an Ones. Vahatanya, we had in the Perakam in Yach in Baba Kamo, Nishpura Kado, person who trips and his kad breaks, Velo Silko, and he doesn't remove it, Nafla Gimalo Veloimida, his camel trip, it falls over and he doesn't upright it. Rabbi Meir Mechayav Bechezekad. Rabbi is mechayiv, and someone who trips over these items afterwards. And we learned there in the Gemara Meniach, that their machlokas revolves around whether someone who trips is classified as a posheya. And therefore, if you're classified as a posheya, then when you created the boar, you have a boar b'shut rabim. A boar b'shut rabim, you're chayiv if you did it derech pshia. So Rabbi Meir holds that when you tripped, you were a posheya, and therefore you created this boar in Rishut Rabim derech pshia, and that's why you're chayav for the items afterwards. When you trip the pieces, the shards of the barrel, or the gamal that's laying there, someone trips over it or falls on it, that you are chayav for because you created a boar Rishut Rabim bipshia. Right? On the other hand, the Rabbanon hold, no, nitkal is la posheho, and therefore you only put to me dene adam, the chayav de shemayim. But what do you see clearly? The Rabbi Meir believes Nitzkal Pusheyahu. So there in Emniach, Rabbi Meir says Nitzkal is a Pusheyah. And over here, Rabbi Meir says Nitzkal La Pusheyahu is Ones. So how do we reconcile between these two opinions of Rabbi Meir? So Amar Rabbi Lazar, the first answer that the Gemara gives is Tavra Mishishana Zu Lo Shana Zu. That these are two different explaining what Rabbi Meir's position is. The Emniach, who explained the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir about Nitzkal Pusheyahu, obviously is not the right author of this or the Tano of this Mishnah, who is explaining that Rabbi Meir believes Nitzkal La Pusheyahu. Yes, true. It's a stira in Rabbi Meir, but it's two people, Alibad Rabbi Meir. Right? It's two Tanaim, Alibad Rabbi Meir, explaining Rabbi Meir's position. So Rabbi Yehuda comes in response to Rabbi Meir's position of Nitzkal La Pusheyahu, that Shomer Chinam Yishavav, Nosachar Shachar Yishalem, Haiki Dinei, V'Haiki Dinei, each one of them according to their appropriate din. Because I agree, Nitzkal is La Pusheyahu, like Rabbi Meir, right? And Nitzkal is not a Pusheyah, but nevertheless, doesn't mean that he is a Ones. Right, so if he is not a Pusheya, and he's not a Ones, then he's classified as like Gnei Ben Aveda. He's in that middle category. By Gnei Ben Aveda, Shomer Chinam takes the Shavua as Patur, and Shomer Sachar pays. And that will be the din over here, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Then, Ata Rabbi Lezer the Meimar, Rabbi Lezer comes and says, In, Gemara ki Rabbi Meir, the Mesorah, right, the Halacha that I got from my Rebbeim is like Rabbi Meir, that both of them take a Shavua. I don't understand how both of them can take a Shavua. Bishlama Shomer Chinam Mishavua Delo Pashaba. Shomer Chinam takes a Shavua because there was no Pshia here, because Nitkal is Lab Posheyahu. So therefore, the Shomer Chinam can take a Shavua and be Patur. Ela Shomer Sachar Mai Mishtava. Why should the Shomer Sachar allow to be take a Shavua? Kilo Pasha Name Shlumei. Right, by. Right. Even if he's a posheya, he has to pay also. I mean, that's the din of a shomer sachar. Only when he's an ones does he not pay. But if he's a shomer chinam, and even by shomer chinam, how do you say he's not a posheya? Anami, ha'atinech makom midron. If it was a incline that he was walking on, he tripped, then you could say, okay, he's not a posheya. Shelo b'makom midron, mishtaba delo pasha. If it's a flat surface, who says he can't be? How could he take a shvut? It wasn't posheya. Because who knows, you know, when a flat surface, that's much more of a posheya in terms of tripping. But I feel a mako mitron, and even on an incline or a decline, where he trips, that's only when there are no edim there. That's when there are no edim. But if there are edim there, you should have to bring the edim. Why? The tani isi ben Yehuda. There's a price review that says, Omer, in will esh shvata shem shdeyevishnehem. When is a shvua allowed to poter you from pshia? That's when there are no edim. That's what it is. Ein ro'eh. There was nobody who saw it. Therefore, the shvu'ah will be the during determining any between them. Hayesh ro'eh, yavi ra'eh, yavi pater. If there were edim, you'll have to bring the edim and yipater and be patur. So now what we have is the three-way machlokas. According to this first explanation of how to reconcile between Rabbi Meir's position and Meniach, and the Meir position over here is that in Ochanami, there's a stira in Rabbi Meir, and those are two positions in Rabbi Meir. Our Rabbi Meir believes that a nitkal laposhehu is an onis. And since he's an ones, both a shomer chinam and a shomer sachar take a shvua, and they are pturim. Rabbi Yehuda says, "What do you mean? I agree with you. Nitkal la poshehu. Someone who trips is not a posheya, but he's not an ones either. He's in that middle category between and that's called gneva v'aveda. Gneva v'aveda, shomer chinam takes a shvua, a shomer sachar pays." Rabbi Elazar comes along and says, "Wait a minute. I have a mesora like Rabbi Meir, but I don't understand that mesora because." I don't understand how a Shomer Sachar can get off by taking a Shavua. He's not an Onis over here, like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore he should have to pay. Number two is even a Shomer Chinam, it's not clear to me that he should be able to take a Shavua. Number one, is he really not a Pushea? That only depends on where he was walking. I mean, if it's a flat surface, maybe he is a Pushea. And number two is even if he is a Onis, or he's not a Pushea in the sense that he tripped on a decline. But if there are Edim there, then he's also not allowed to take a Shavua. He has to bring the Edim in and not take a Shavua. So that's where Rabbi Meir Ermir ends up. Now the Gemara gives a second way to reconcile the position of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Chiya ba'ava Amar, Rabbi Yochanan, Shavua zu takanat chachamim hi. The Shavua of our Mishnah is only a takanat chachamim. I mean, ein hochanami. That Rabbi Meir in general believes that Nitkal is a Pusheahu. That the fact that you're allowed to take a Shvua in our Mishnah and be Patur is simply a Takanat Chachamim. Why? Because it's almost a Mipnei Tikkun Olam. Why? Shim Ata Omer Kein, if you do not say that, Incha Adam Amavir Chavid Lechavero Memakom Lemakom. Nobody would ever carry a barrel around. Nobody would ever help anybody else to carry things. Why? Because as soon as you pick up the item, you're now going to be responsible if you fall down. And that nobody would want to be in a position where if they, as soon as they trip, they're going to be chayav for the whole item. They're trying to do a favor. Or if they, even if their item is a shomer, they don't want to do anything because as soon as they move it, now they're responsible for the item as soon as they move it. So nobody will move it. So Chachamim says, Mipnei Tikkun Olam, let us say that as long as the person, right, takes a shvu'ah, they will be patur. Now the Gemara asks, wait a minute. Hey, chamishtaba. Right? How does he take a shvu'ah? But it's really, right, it's really, not what type of shvuah, but even how could you take a shvuah now? What's the shvuah you were taking before? The lo pasha, that you were not a poshea. But at this point, Rabbi Meir believes that a nitzkal is a poshea. So what shvuah are you taking that you're not a poshea? You are a poshea when you trip. Says, no, Amar Rava, shvuah shlo bekavanah shivartia. That you take a shvuah that you didn't intentionally break it. True that if you trip, you are a poshea, but you take a shvuah that you did not intentionally break it, but you simply tripped. And that's how it broke. So that'll be the shvuah, and that's the tikkun olam here. But Rabbi Yehuda the Meimar, Shomer Chinam Yishava, Nosech Chesachar, Yishalem Haikadinei Vahakadinei. Then Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, no, this is Meikar Adin. Nitkal is La Poshehu. I mean, as opposed to you, Rabbi Meir, thinks Nitkal is Poshehu, and therefore it's not Meikar Adin, Allah, here. That you say it's all Tchenes Chachamim. I say, no, that's Meikar Adin what happens here. Meikar Adin, Nitkal La Poshehu. He's not a Poshehu. He's not an Ones, but he's not a Poshehu. He's not a Poshehu. He's not an Ones. Then everybody gets their own din. Shomer Chinam takes a Shavuah, like Begneva and Beita. Shomer Sachar pays. But the Rabbi Lazar Lameimar in. Gemarak Rabbi Meir. I have a Mesorah like Rabbi Meir. Umiyo Tzmiani. I don't understand. I have done both of them take a shvua. Bishlamar Shomer Chinam Mishtaba Shlo Pashaba. He could take a shvua that he wasn't Pusheya. El Shomer Sachar Amai Mishtaba. Why should he take a shvua? Kilo Pashanami by Shlume. Right? Even when he's not Pusheya, he's not an Ones, he has to pay. Right? Vafilu Shomer Chinam Nami. Ah, Tinachum Makom Midron. That makes sense when it's on an incline or a decline. Shlomo Makom Midron, Mi Matzi Mishtaba. What type of shvua can you take in that instance? Because he's a Pusheya in that instance. So Pasha, but I feel of a makom midron, and even in an incline or a decline, nami ha tina hecha delekarayo. That's only when there's no edim hecha dekarayo neitarayo vipoter. Right, then he should bring a raya and be potur. The tania we have the brisa of Yisib ben Yehuda Omer in roesh wet Hashem ben shneim. She was only in the place where there's no edim. Hayeshu have their edim yavi raya vipoter. He has to bring the edim, and he can't use the shvua as the vehicle for being poter himself in this instance. So therefore, we have two, the Gemara at this point has two solutions to the stira in Rabbi Meir. Which is, the first solution, which is that in Ochanami there is a steer in Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir and Aminiach says, Nitkal Pusheyahu. And Rabbi Meir over here says, Nitkal La Pusheyahu. And that's in Ochanami. And then the Gemara explains it. Now, the other opinion, which is Bechir Ba'abam Rabbi Yochanan, is no, in Ochanami. Rabbi Meir is consistent in his position that Nitkal is Pusheyahu. And Rabbi Yehuda is consistent in his position that Nitkal La Pusheyahu.
That's well.
Right, so that the that Nitzkal is La Pusheyahu, like he does in Heminiach, he's the one who argues in Rabbi Meir and Heminiach. Right, so Nitzkal La Pusheyahu, and the reason that our Mishnah is different is because of this issue of Takanas Chachamim. According to Rabbi Meir, where Nitzkal is a Pusheyahu, then you'd run into a problem and nobody want to move things. So the Chachamim said, even though technically they shouldn't be get away with taking a Shavuah, nevertheless we allow them to take a Shavuah to make sort of a socially tenable, that people will be able to carry items around, we allow you to get patur the shvua, and that shvua will be not that shlo pashat, because you were pushy when you tripped, but shvua shlo shivartia bikavana, that I did not break it in, I did not break it intentionally. There's a very, very, very important tos. Rabbi Eliezer is just saying that I know that the halacha is like Rabbi Meir. I have a mesora that the halacha is like Rabbi Meir. They both can take a shua, but I don't understand it because
I don't have the shua de Rabbanan.
Right. Either I don't have the shua de Rabbanan like Rabbi Meir, or I don't. In the first case, I don't hold like Rabbi Meir that even if he says this guy loved Poshehu, it doesn't mean he's an onis. Means that he's not a poshe, it's not necessarily an onis, right? According to the way we're learning the first answer, Nitzkal la poshe, according to Rabbi Meir, means he's a complete onis. And Rabbi Yehuda comes on and says, no, Nitzkal la poshe, but he's not an onis. Tosus asks over here a very important question, which leads him to an extremely important distinction, which is that Adam Hamazik is Lolam Chayab, even if he's an onis. Right, so what does it help you that an Adam here who trips over, when somebody breaks a barrel, he should be Chayab no matter what, even according to Rabbi Yehuda? Meaning that when you trip and you break a barrel, you're an Adam Hamazik, and an Adam Hamazik is Chayab in all instances. So how could there be a Shavua here in any case whatsoever? So Tosus over here draws a distinction that not all onis are you chayav. Adam HaMazik, when the Gemara says that you're chayav in onsin, that's not a blanket statement. And Tosus says over here, Ve'yesh lomar, D'la b'chol onis chayav Adam HaMazik. That not in all onsim is in Adam HaMazik chayav, al b'onis ke'en g'neva v'aveda, k'mo ruach she'enu mitzuya. It's only an onis that is not a complete, right, onis. So Tosus actually creates categories of onsin. Creates categories of onsin. In the end, he makes such a distinction that, you know, by a Shomer Sechar and Shomer Chinam, we have a classification called Gneva and Aveda. Like Gneva is an ones, and Aveda is more like a Pshia. So therefore, he'll say in the end that, according to this, ones really has like a broad spectrum of what's classified as ones. That there'll be an ones, which is a complete ones. For instance, when you're sleeping. Right, if you sleep and then someone else lays down next to you and you hurt them, you're patur. Even though Adam HaMazik is chayav onsin, over there there's no way you could have anticipated the problem. You're a complete ones and you're patur. So there is an Adam HaMazik who is a patur. There's another HaMazik who's an ones, but it's not exactly pure ones. It's more like a, you know, Gnev and Aveda level, like our case is over here, Renitka. And he's not classified as a complete ones, but he's at this middle category where he will be like Gnev Aveda. Whereas in there's that case, a Adam HaMazik would be Chayav. And that's what Tosa says, that if it's King Gneva Veda, your Onis, then you'll be Chayav as Adam HaMazik. If it's a complete Onis, then Adam HaMazik will not be Chayav. So therefore, in the end, right, Tosa says, Ve'esh Lomar, Denitkel Havi L'Rabbi Yehuda Ke'in Gneva, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, when you trip, it's like Gneva, Davi Karov L'Onis, Ulokach Patur Adam HaMazik. Ve'lo Mechayav Adam HaMazik, El Bedorah Shukein Aveda. And another mazik won't be chayv when you're an onis like a veda, davi korov l'pshia, when it's korov l'pshia. So even though Rabbi Yehuda says over here that you're not an onis when you trip, he says nitkal, right, is lab poshehu, but he also says he's not an onis here. But nevertheless, you are in that category of aveda, I mean of gneva, which is that you're korov onis. And since you're korov onis, that makes you patur as adam mazik, you only be chayv as a shomer. But if you are a nitka like Aveda, if you trip over, if something happens and you're classified like an Aveda, then you would be chayav as a Adam HaMazik. So in the end, Tosus creates three categories of ones. Complete ones, where you are patur. According to Rabbi Yehuda, even an ones, which is not a complete ones, like tripping, but nevertheless it's karov le'gnevaz. It's close to being an ones. It's not a complete ones, but close to being an ones. There you also, as Adam HaMazik, would be patur. But if you're a ones like a veda, which is karav l'pshia, in that instance Adam HaMazik becomes chayav. All right, we'll stop over there.